This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Deborah Becker, in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
If you like beer, then you might think that our next guest has one of the best jobs around. John Hall is a beer judge. He's also an author and broadcaster. In 2007, he gave up his job as a reporter to write exclusively about his passion, beer. And to research his new book, John Hall traveled around the country to gather more than 150 recipes from America's best breweries and beer-centric restaurants. The result is the American Craft Beer Cookbook, 155 recipes from your favorite brew pubs and breweries. And John Hall, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Great to be here. Thanks so much.
A basic question. The rise of craft beer is now well established across the U.S. So is it safe to say that beer is no longer wine's poor cousin?
Absolutely. Beer has really established itself through the American brewers that are making very flavorful recipes these days and really educating a public. Beer can now claim a place at the table alongside wine. There doesn't have to be a who's better, who's worse, back and forth kind of thing. You can have a nice glass of wine at the table, you can have a nice glass of beer at the table, and it'll complement the meal that's in front of you.
Mm. So tell us about this book. You've gathered more than 150 recipes, and one of the guiding ideas seems to be that there's a perfect beer for every meal.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Beer for a long time, if you watch a lot of TV and you see some beer commercials, it's all about burgers or wings or nachos if you're having beer. And then you'll see wine commercials, and it's all about fine dining experiences. What I wanted to do with this book is really show that with all of the different styles of beer out there, that yes, there is a perfect pairing for each one, and that you can actually find beers that will enhance the flavor of the food and vice versa, foods that will enhance the flavors of the beer.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the beers, but I want to talk to you about some of the great recipes you've got in here. What's your favorite, especially as fall is just around the corner? What's a good recipe in here for fall?
Well, as fall just being around the corner, one of the things that strikes me is my herb garden at home is really still quite vibrant at this time of year. So I've been cutting as many as I can and pairing it with like a nice veal or chicken. Fresh herb notes with a nice protein goes really well with the Saison, which is farmhouse beer, very effervescent to it. It's got a lot of floral characteristics to it, a little bit hearty. The two of those go really well together at this time of year. We're also getting into the soups and stew season as well, where you put on a pot in the beginning of the day and you let it simmer throughout. So the blackened corn chowder is really one of my favorites.
You know, I'm struck, John, when you talk about beer, you're using language that reminds me of the way people talk about wine, right?
Sure.
Because usually when people talk about beer, it's like, it's bitter, it's hoppy. But you're using notes of chocolate and this, that, and the other. It's a more evolved language.
And as we start, as a general society, start learning more about the beers that are being made, I think we need to move away from the terms like bitter or hoppy and really start talking about the flavors of food that appear in beer. So beer is essentially water, hops, malt, and yeast. And then brewers will add other ingredients to them to enhance the flavors. But malts can give characteristics of fresh toast, or you can get notes of chocolate or toffee with that. Yeast can impart flavors of banana or clove. Hops, which are the bitterness units in there, and people will say, oh, it's a bitter beer, they can give off flavors of citrus or pine or tropical fruit. Mm. When you start thinking about beer in food terms like that, you can really start to think about what they would pair well with, but also understand what you're tasting and find notes and find flavors that that you find pleasing.
So when it comes to pairing beer with food recipes, talk me out of the one concern I have, okay? And I'm asking you to educate me here. So it's complicated. It's even intimidating. And you know, beer is supposed to be basic. It's like a beer and a burger. But now this whole craft beer movement and beer dinners and beer pairings, are we in danger of making this all seem a little inaccessible?
I don't think so, because beer is very forgiving. And one of the fun things to do when you're trying out different pairings is to just experiment. Mm. Sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't. And if it doesn't work, well, you've still had a really good beer and hopefully you've still had a really good meal.
Yeah.
It's when the pairings come together in that perfect way that everything kind of goes to the next level.
Well, give me an example of how to think about how to pair a beer with food. I love hanger steak, and you've got this nice recipe, hanger steak with gorgonzola sauce.
Right.
What should I be drinking with that?
I would say an assertively hoppy IPA, and that's mostly because of the gorgonzola sauce in there. When you have a very pungent cheese like gorgonzola, something that really dominates the meal, you need a beer that's going to cut through that. So an aggressively hoppy India Pale Ale that has pine or citrus notes to it can can really cut through the cheese so that that's not all you're tasting, and also bring out some additional flavors as well.
Mm.
Find flavor bridges. Don't just think about your protein, but think about how you're preparing it. Think about the sauces that you're using. Think about, is the food grilled or is it baked or is it fried? If you're doing something with citrus in it, think about something that would go really well with citrus. If you put something on the grill, you get that nice char on the outside of it. So think, and it almost caramelizes a little bit. So then start thinking about like a roasty porter or a roasty stout that has some of those same caramelization notes, maybe even a little bit of like that burnt note to it that would complement the meal as well. So think about the entire scope of the dish that you're making and then try to find a beer that would match it, or pick a beer first and then try to go from there.
Well, speaking of picking a beer,
yes,
you brought some beers in here. Tell me something about this collection of beers, and let's taste one or two.
Absolutely. Well, I brought in four different beers that are brewed here in Massachusetts, and they really show where we are with American beer right now. So I brought in a combination Hefeweizen and India Pale Ale from the Cambridge Brewing Company that they did in collaboration with the beer store called the Craft Beer Cellar. That shows that brewers are not afraid to mix two styles together. We also brought in the Mule, which is a lager from Notch Brewing Company. And Notch is a small brewery that likes to make low alcohol content beers that have a lot of flavor to them. So this is essentially like drinking those beers that you see advertised on TV, but it's made with locally sourced ingredients and really quite flavorful. It's got a little bit of sweetness, finished very dry. Then we have this other beer from Somerville Brewing Company, which is their Happy Soul Hefeweizen. Hefeweizens are traditional German wheat beers, typically have notes of banana and clove in them. What Somerville has done is not only gone with the traditional recipe, but they've added local wildflower honey and the juice of blood oranges into it. Yeah. So it's really,
we've got to try that one. Juice of blood oranges. You've got it open here.
They have a 1,000 different blood oranges in the batch when they're brewing it each time.
Now, am I imagining it, or is the head a little bit orangey?
No, you're not imagining that at all. When you pour it, you can even see that kind of hazeous to it. It's a little bit like a burnt amber. Cheers to you.
It's really, really good.
It really comes through, doesn't it? You get that citrus note to it.
Mm.
And if you think about it just a little bit, on the back of it, you can almost taste the bananas that come from the yeast that they use in there as well. Mm. It's really refreshing, even this time of year. I know the weather's going to creep up in the next couple of days. It's still a nice beer to drink.
Okay, now I'm going to open this one. And while I'm opening it, this opens a little bit like a champagne bottle. Tell me what it is.
Ah, there
great
it is.
Sound.
That is the 13th Hour Stout from Samuel Adams. So they have their brewery here in Boston, down Jamaica Plain, and this is a combination of a number of different styles. It's got a champagne yeast in it and a Belgian yeast in it, which kind of gives a fruity characteristic.
Mm.
The grains that they're using in there have the roasted notes that you would normally associate with a stout, like chocolate and coffee. And then they have a wild fermented ale that they make that gives these spicy notes to it. So what you really wind up getting is several different beers in one. It's very complex. It comes in this really nice packaging as well with the Cajun cork finish, so it looks like a champagne bottle. It's part of their barrel room collection, so it's aged for a while in wood before it's actually poured. One of the things that I like about this is Sam Adams, which has been around for a really long time. Everybody knows Boston Lager. Everybody knows Summer Ale, Oktoberfest, etc. They're really doing creative things and continuously pushing the envelope of what beer is and what beer can be.
I love Belgian ales.
Right.
And so there's some of that going on here,
you
but it's kind
that,
of
right?
stouty too.
It is. Well, yeah. It is a stout. They're calling it a Belgian style stout. And,
interesting.
And in the U.S., the brewers have really taken these traditional styles from Germany, from Belgium, from the U.K. that were so rooted in tradition and they never deviated. Now the American brewers have come on and said, well, why can't we combine a stout with a Belgian style beer and bring them together? Let's see what happens.
I like this, and I'm someone who doesn't like stout.
Okay.
But this sort of lightens it, and to me makes it much more drinkable.
And I like that you said lighten as well, because people see a stout, they see a dark beer, and they say, oh, it's going to be very, very heavy.
Yep.
It's just the color of the beer. It doesn't necessarily mean weight.
In your book,
yes,
you write that if you landed in New York City in the year 1890, you would have seen the world's most diverse food culture, accompanied by the most interesting beer culture in the world. Immigrants flocked to America. American cities and brought recipes and beer recipes from their homelands. But then you write, we had everything, and then slowly and carelessly, we lost it all.
Yes.
What happened?
We became a culture of convenience over time. We went from preparing meals in our homes where we knew the butcher, so we knew where the meat was coming from. We were growing our own vegetables. And slowly over time, we became desensitized to what we were eating almost. We were convinced that our lifestyle was much too busy. So fresh baked bread was not as good as Wonder Bread, which came in a prepackaged thing, or you didn't need to get good flavorful cheese because you could get Velveeta. And we were all so busy that it was easier to just open up a plastic tray, pop it in the microwave, and you had a meal in 2 minutes that you didn't have to work on.
And that killed the beer culture too?
Well, Prohibition kind of helped kill the beer culture. But when Prohibition came back, yes, the beers that were being produced were being produced in such a high volume that things began to change. The beers became a little bit more watered down or a little bit more generic. They became something for everyone and, in a sense, kind of lost their spark, their life. And so now what we're seeing is people care about, again, the locavore food movement is coming back and farm-to-table is taking off, and people are worried about what's in their dishes when they're eating them. And the same thing is true with beer. So we've kind of come together with the local food movement and the craft beer movement. They're kind of really now coming together in a way where you can eat local and drink local and experience great flavors and enjoy what you're eating.
Reason for optimism. So safe to say the American beer culture is back then.
It is. I think we're at the dawn of what I hope to be a golden age. There's now almost 3,000 breweries in the country. We're closing in on that. I've seen statistics that say the majority of Americans now live within 10 miles of a brewery. So the chance to drink local has really never been better since Prohibition.
One, two, three.
John Hall is the author of the American Craft Beer Cookbook, 155 recipes from your favorite brew pubs and breweries. He'll be at the Trident Booksellers and Cafe in Boston this evening. And there's more information on our website, radioboston.org. John Hall, thanks so much.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers to you. And by the way, there's some great recipes from John Hall at our website, radioboston.org.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Cheers, bottoms up, and join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.